Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
Pastor Dominic preached a sermon and I was excited by it because it's a little bit like what I'm going to preach today. And then on Tuesday, Rachel was supposed to bring devotion for the staff's meeting and she actually wasn't feeling too well. So she texted everyone, not everyone, she texted me and then wanted to see whether I could come up with the devotion. And so at the time I was looking after Isaac getting his breakfast. So I'm like, so my first response was not really. And so she went and asked Pastor Alex. So anyway, she didn't reply to my message after that. So we got to church and turns out Pastor Alex was bringing the word. What he brought is actually what I'm going to share tonight. So the point is, God is saying this right now. Amen? So are you ready? I'm going to just quickly pray. Father, I thank you that you want to speak this, you want to say this to your church. So God, I pray that you just open up every heart and give us the grace to actually perform your word, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are willing and you want to give us revival. So God, I just thank you for speaking and moving powerfully in Jesus' mighty name. So the passage I'm going to preach from today is Luke chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, to 13. So I'm going to begin with Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4. If you got your Bible. Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, that's Jesus, when he sees that one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I use this scripture quite a fair bit. One of my favorite healing scriptures is actually 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes, you were healed. Right? And so Peter was quoting Isaiah from Isaiah 53. So my question is, if by his stripes we were healed, then why is there still sicknesses on the earth? Are you following me? And the reason for that is this passage. It's because that's the will of God and that's the kingdom of God. But the kingdom and the will of God is not really on the earth. It is on the earth, but it's not really. It is, but it isn't. Because by stripes we were healed, then why is there still sicknesses? You know, like when you go to a pizza shop. I was gonna like physically get Richelli to order a pizza, but then I thought about the logistics of that, and only one person's gonna get the pizza, and then everyone's like, "When you give us any?" And then, I don't know. And so I thought, rather than starting all that, I just go, "I'm just gonna give you the example." So that's unfortunate for someone that could have won a pizza. But you know, when you order a pizza, right? If you go to the pizza shop, you pay for your pizza, and then what do they give you? Pizza. A docket. No, you don't get a pizza straight. What pizza shop do you go to? Normally, when you order a pizza at a pizza shop, they give you a docket. Remember that? There's a little docket. And you sit there, and you wait. And after about 20 minutes, you get your pizza, right? This passage is a little bit like that. Healing is like the pizza, right? Jesus has paid for it, so it comes to us free, but there is a cost which we didn't pay. Same thing with healing, same thing with salvation. The wage of sin is death. We can't pay that. Jesus paid it. And he put it forward and presented it to you to go, here it is. Take salvation. Take forgiveness. Take redemption. Take healing. So when we order pizza, we get given a docket. But after 20 minutes, if your pizza doesn't come, what should you do? You go to the counter and go, excuse me, 20 minutes ago I ordered a pizza. I wonder where it is. And they go, sorry, mate, your pizza's not here. And you go, look at this. You look at this. I paid for it. Here's your docket. Therefore, there's a pizza in there, which is my order. Can you please go and look at it? So if it's not there, they go, oh my goodness, don't know what happened. We didn't make it. All right, we'll make it right now. I'm sorry, mate. And we're going to throw you some bottles of drinks and garlic bread. Right? That's an example. I know that you guys are so fit today that we don't eat pizza anymore. I had pizza last week. I got told off by Cooper. Coach Cooper. Praise God. But that's what healing is like. That's what this believing is like. Like, God has saved us. God has healed us. But it requires us to believe for it to come. Can you say amen? And in the Bible, like, for example, Abraham and Isaac. God promised that Abraham was going to have children when he was 75 years old. Anyone knows what age Abraham was when Isaac was born? 100. God said to Abraham, you're going to have a child. But it was not until 25 years later that Abraham held Isaac. Are you following me? The same way as well, when God promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, it was not until 400 years later that the children of Israel went in to possess it. So this is what it's like. There's a whole bunch of promises that you need to go and possess. Okay. So Luke 11, verse 5 to 8. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. Back then you have to make your bread. It doesn't just come ready made. And he answered from within and said, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are now with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. But I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is a friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Are you following me? So imagine yourself at night. You're in bed. And then someone knocks saying, hey, can you give me some bread? And you're like, go to the supermarket. But the passage there is talking about persisting. You follow me? Okay. Now, follow on. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. But if you look at the Greek, that's ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. It's a present continuous. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks will be open. Verse 11, if a son asks for a bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? Verse 13, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Isn't it interesting that the whole passage is actually about asking for the Holy Spirit? Are you following me? Watch this. Can you bring up the Acts chapter 4 scripture, please? There's this man in the US. His name is Daniel Kalender. He's a successor to Reinhard Bonnke. Anyone know who Reinhard Bonnke is? Reinhard Bonnke is this amazing German evangelist that probably, I don't know, he's led millions of Africans to the Lord. His crusade, his last crusade was like literally over a couple of million people. It was crowd as far as the eye could see. I don't even want to imagine the logistics of that. Can you imagine organizing the toilet? That would be so wild. But anyway, Daniel Kalender, like he passed away, but his successor said this. He goes, I question whether a lot of what we have these days is really the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because if we read in the book of Acts, the people were baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit and they became powerful. They turned the world upside down. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They cast out demons. And Daniel Kalender was like, I walk around and I question a lot of what people have these days. Are you following me? And I actually asked the same question myself as well. I'm thinking, God, I'm not too sure if a lot of what the church has is really the baptism of the book of Acts. But watch this. Acts chapter 4, please. Even if we have the Acts 2 baptism, there is an Acts 4 baptism, verse 29 to 31. 29 to 31. Oop. Yes. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servant with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And if you follow on, it says they perform mighty signs and wonders, even more than Acts chapter 2. Are you following me? Praise God. You can say hello. I understand it's a hot day. But this is what I want to say. Who here knows and heard about the Azusa Street Revival? The Azusa Street Revival is this. In the 9th of April, 1906, 214 Bonnie Bray Street in the U.S., the third day of a 10-day fast, there's this gentleman, he's an African-American by the name of William Seymour. He got up to preach to a small prayer group. They were fasting. All of them were fasting on a 10-day fast. And William Seymour read from the book of Acts chapter 2, and he says, and he read out the scripture. Then this gentleman by the name of Edward Lee, he got up and say, Pastor Seymour, can you please lay hands on me so that I may receive this baptism of the Holy Spirit? William Seymour laid hands, not really expecting anything. And then the man fell down as though he's dead, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And so electricity went out through the whole room. Everyone's like, oh my goodness, he's got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in other tongues. So in the room, there's a young lady by the name of Jenny Paul. She was sitting on a stool. And all of a sudden, she fell over. The fire of God fell on her, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. She says, this is her word. It felt like water surging out of my being. And I started singing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and even went over to a piano and began playing in it, having never undertaken any training whatsoever. Hello? All right? And so by this stage, everyone's like jumping up and down. Several other people then got knocked down to the ground, and six of them came up, baptized the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other tongues. So by this stage, their noise, the joyful noise, could be heard throughout the neighborhood, and the neighbors started coming up to see what's going on. Then several people then got knocked down to the ground, and they got up and began to speak in the Holy Ghost as well. So they began to speak in other tongues, right? So this meeting then went on for 3 days and 3 nights until the front porch broke. So they decided they needed to find a new place. And then William Seymour found a vacated church building that was formerly used to house horses. And the address is 312 Azusa Street. That is actually the birth of the Pentecostal movement. We're called Pentecostal because of that. It's like they're believing in the power of the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost. And there were reports of the Holy Spirit being so thick. It's like the glory of God. The children were playing hide and seek in it. It was so tangible, visible. Yeah, and within that, and then there were reports of maimed people were like missing like arms and legs growing out. There were miracles that just popping out. Like the word of knowledge, you say one word, like three of them just get healed. It was ridiculous level of power. Right? Everyone hears about this. But there is something that happens before that I rarely hear about. Are you ready to hear it? This is actually a statement by John G. Lake. John G. Lake, again, is an amazing, powerful man of God. He started what is called the healing rooms in Spokane, Washington. Every sick person, there was no sick person in Spokane, Washington, because they got healed. It is called the healthiest city in the U.S. This is what he says. So he ran into William Seymour. He goes, okay. And William Seymour said this to John G. Lake. He goes, later, Brother Parham was preaching in Texas. Okay, a colored man came to his meeting by the name of William Seymour. In a hotel in Chicago, he related his experience to Brother Tom and myself, which is John G. Lake. I want you to see the hunger in that colored man's souls. He said he was a waiter in a restaurant and preaching to a church of colored people. He knew God as his savior, as the sanctifier. He knew of the power of God to heal. But as he listened to Parham, he became convinced of a bigger thing. So Charles Parham was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but no one really hears about him. You kind of hear. It's like he's actually the first person that really, not the first, but one of the first people to preach about the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. So William Seymour attended Charles Parham's meeting and wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So he went on. William Seymour went on to Los Angeles without receiving it, but he said he was determined to preach all of God he knew to the people. So he started preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost without having to receive it himself, and he was persecuted for it. Okay, this is William Seymour. He says, brother, before I met Parham, such hunger to have more of God was in my heart that I prayed for 5 hours a day for 2.5 years. I got to Los Angeles, and when I got there, the hunger was not less, but more. So I prayed to God, what can I do, God? And the Spirit said, pray more. More than five. But Lord, I'm praying 5 hours a day. And so I increased it to 7 hours a day, and I continued on for a year and a half. Hello. Right? Everyone's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everyone's talking about revival. I'm actually very blessed because when I was a young Christian, there was this pastor by the name of Frank Clancy. You know what he used to say to us? He said this over Ben as well. He goes, mate, if not now, then when? If it's not you, then who? I remember 15 years ago, me and a young man by the name of Ben Fitzgerald was sitting, leaning over in the bonnet of my car, in the car park of Danong Plaza. And 15, 16 years ago, Ben told me that he was going to preach the gospel in stadiums one day. I said, oh yeah, me too. But the thing is, there's a difference between me and him. He believed what he was saying. I remember one day I ran into him in Geelong. I can't remember why I was in Geelong. I didn't live there. But Ben came up to me and goes, Lee, I've been crying out to God for 4 hours this morning. I said, what were you crying out about? Then he changed the topic. Cheeky man. He didn't tell me his secret. He discovered this 15 years ago. He knew about this. He cried out to God, and he was pressing and pressing and pressing and pressing until one day God gave him a vision of a stadium in Germany, in Nuremberg, where Hitler gave his first speech. And there Ben held the first awakening Europe. And I told Pastor Alexis, I said, I actually feel like I am one of David's mighty men because I've seen Ben before he is Ben. Everyone may know him now as the Ben, mighty evangelist, the evangelist of Europe. God literally gave him Europe. But I remember him praying. He goes, Psalm 2, he goes, ask of me and I shall give you the nations. And I remember praying that with Ben. Hello. But I didn't really believe it. I had too much issues. I had too much stuff that I need to clean up. I've got tons of issues. But Ben cried out to God, and I've been blessed enough to watch him touch it. He received what he was asking for. And so it reminded me of what Pastor Frank says. He goes, Lee, everyone's been talking about revival for the last 40 years. At the end of the day, someone has to ask and believe. And so he says, while everyone's waiting for a revival, why don't you get it? Why don't you be revival? All you young people, listen to me. Old one as well. But Frank said it to me when I was young. If not now, when? If not you, then who? The rest of the church are sitting around waiting for revival to sovereignly come. But I've been doing a research. For 18 years, I've been researching this. I was a drug dealing, drug addict man. I got saved, and that night I couldn't sleep because I got things flying around. I had all these demons tormenting me. And plus, I had speed in my system. So I figured out that I should pick up the Bible and find out what my mom's been talking about. So I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, the pain in my mind stops. I was being tormented of my memories, of everything that I used to do was tormenting me. So I read the Bible. I read. And that night, I remember reading the book of Acts of what Peter did. And I remember saying to God, I said, God, if you can make my life look like that, I will give it to you. I was selling drugs, dealing drugs in the morning. And by 2 o'clock the next morning, I was like, God, give me a revival. I believe that was God calling me. But I had a little bit of journey. I haven't been, you know, I can't figure stuff out. I thought pretty slow. But guess what? I've arrived at this point and I have figured it out. Watch this. Dominic Mugaga confessed healing scriptures for 3 months after he was poisoned. John G. Lake, who was known for his healing ministry, the reason he pursued God was he had 4 brothers and 4 sisters died of sickness. He himself was constipated that he was drinking like an insane amount of oil, because that's the medicine back then. His son was sick and his wife was an invalid. So in that context, he cried out to God day and night for 3 years. And he received deliverance from the Lord. In receiving his healing, God also made him a healer unto millions of other people. Are you with me? Todd White, if you know who Todd White is, he's an amazing man of God. He has a habit of fasting every second day. And I remember hearing him that he would spend the fasting days meditating and praying for about 8 hours a day. Hello? Evan Roberts prayed for the Welsh revival for 12 years. William Seymour prayed 5 hours per day for 2.5 years and 7 hours for a further 1.5 years. This is what I've been saying. People talk about revival and they go like, you know, you talk about it's catalyzed, it's started by some spontaneous act. But nobody talks about the years of prayer that precedes that. Ever heard of the Brownsville Revival? There's pastor by the name of John Kilpatrick. He led his church into 2 years of serious prayer. And finally, Steve Hill, revival came. And it lasted for 5 years. Right? Then finally, they all got burnt out. Like, they were just doing meetings every night. He moved to another church in Mobile, Alabama. He took on the pastorship. Then 10 years after the first revival, the second church also went into revival. It's called Bay of the Holy Spirit, Mobile, Alabama. You can look it up. Was it Nathan Morris? Hello. So the guy has been involved in 2 revivals. While everyone else is looking for like some random movement of God, he steered his church into prayer. Even recently, the man stumbled a little bit. Even recently, there's a church called New Manibai. I watched that man, Corey Turner. He took what was something else into Numa, and in 3 years, he took a seeker-sensitive church into a full-blown revival. And I think I've shown you that one of their first core value is prayer fuels power. And I was just saying, I'm like, man, this revival is not going to go away, because he got it, man. He understood. Dang, man, the devil had his way. That's why I'm grieving, because he's actually like a beacon of light for the ACC. But guess what? I remember hearing this scripture. I remember like Corey Turner sharing the scripture, and I'm like, I wonder where he got that from. And recently, over the last summer, I accidentally found it, and I'm reading it out to you. Are you following me? So secretly, I've been putting some of these lessons that I've discovered into practice. Right? Carmen, you said something. Well, I've just told you my secret now. I've just been praying a lot more. Thank you, Jason. But the point is this. John G. Lake prayed, and then he received the power. You know, the mightiest story of John G. Lake was actually in South Africa. There was the bubonic plague. People were dying. So the doctors were covered head to toe in protective gear, because bubonic plague caused you to have this foam in your mouth, and if you touch it, that's how you get it. You die. So John G. Lake was burying bodies barehanded. And all the doctors were like, how are you not dead? And then John G. Lake says, the power or spirit of life has freed me from the law of sin and death. He went over to the hospital and says, come, put my hand under a microscope and put some of that plague, put some of that saliva on my hand. So they grabbed some saliva from a corpse, put it on his hand, and under a microscope, they watch all the viruses, all the whatever you call it, I don't know. All those germs, they died in his hand. Evan Roberts prayed. William Seymour prayed. I actually sat down with Tim Hall. I asked him. And he told me, he goes, when I was a young man, I used to go away and I would pray for hours asking God to put something on me. And you know what I realized? We look up at some people. But I've been blessed. I know that all of these people that we call generals and earth shakers and world changers, they originally were nobody that dared to believe and dared to pray. When I was a young Christian, I remember reading this book by, she went to Hong Kong, Jackie Pullinger, Chasing the Dragon. So she, missionary, went to Hong Kong and worked with the gangsters there, and saw a lot of people saved. But at the end of her book, she says, now that you've read my stories, I want you to put the book down and go make your own stories. And that phrase stood with me. Because of that, I am not satisfied to attend other people's revival meeting. I want you to come to mine. And you're like, well, that's a bit cocky. No, 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 no. I've just stopped caring, and I've stopped making excuses. I've stopped going, I'm not worthy. And after 18 years of pursuing this, I realize I'm never going to be worthy enough. I'm never going to be holy enough. I'm never going to be righteous enough. I'm never going to be, this is about as good as it gets. So instead of waiting another 18 years, I'm going to go, stuff it. I want it now. If a young Ben Fitzgerald can ask and receive, why not me? If Dan could ask, because he was hanging around with Ben, and receives, why not me? Why not you? As Frank said it to me, everyone, the whole world, man, ever since I got saved, everyone's been talking about revival's coming. I'm over it. As Frank says, if not now, When? You're going to wait another 10 years. Oh, man, renewal is going to come again. It's like, ah, stuff that. Revival comes when somebody's crazy enough to get on their knees and pray until it comes. There's a revival in the Hebrides Island, just a little island off the coast of Scotland. It was brought about by two old ladies with arthritis. They were so sickly they couldn't come to church. So all they could do was sit in their house praying for God to come down. It was a little island, only about 1,000 people. Except a handful of people, everybody got saved. And this is how it comes. One day, the pastor, his name of Duncan Roberts, was preaching somewhere. He closed the service. And it's at that afternoon, a couple of hundred people were walking around the street looking for a church because they wanted to know who can tell them about Jesus. Because the presence of God was everywhere. Not in the church, out in the street. People would just walk and go, I'm a sinner. And they go, who is God? So they go, we need to find a church. And they find a pastor and go, can you tell us about Jesus? Can you tell us about God? We don't know who he is. Listen to me. The two old ladies were concerned for their society. They watched their society and they thought society is going to hell. Probably what was happening was all the young people, because they used to wear skirts up to their ankle, probably they shortened their skirts up to their knees. Right? So that two little old lady goes, oh my goodness, society's going to hell. Laugh. But today, you can be fully dressed and half naked. Look at what's happening to society. Those two little old ladies cared enough to do something about it. Can you look at your society? You think it's going in a good way? But the question is, who will put their hands up and go, you know what, stuff this, I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to ask God to pour out his spirit, just like in the days of old. And I don't care if I'm holy enough, if I'm good enough, I'm going to go through to Jesus. He's making me holy. He's the righteousness. He makes me acceptable. And you know what, stuff all that, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to keep asking until you come down. Hello. I purpose in my heart that I'm going to do this. And I'll tell you a little secret. If you never prayed and you start praying, the first 5 minutes is hard. It's like a little marker. Then after you start praying, getting over 1 hour is hard. But after 1 hour, between 2 to 3 to 4, actually feels no different. I'm telling you. So people go, how can you pray for 3 or 4 hours? I'm like, after a while, it's like your mouth just moves itself. And then after you do that, you actually get hungrier. You don't get tired of it. You actually go, oh. Hello. I'm telling you. And I actually, like, you know, God was telling me about Matthew 6. When you pray, when you fast, when you give, don't tell everyone. But recently, God told me, tell people what you've been doing. And the reason for that, God is want to provoke people to jealousy. God actually wants to cause a godly jealousy in this place. He wants people to start pursuing him. Corey Turner did this, and I watched the people in his church started praying. I remember him sharing text message of people praying 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. And that's why I said, this guy got it, man. This revival is unstoppable. Ah, it is. It's stoppable. I remember a mentor of mine told me something. It got posted recently by Jeremiah Johnson. He goes, Lee, crucify your flesh in private before your flesh crucifies you in public. You don't do it to be acceptable to God. Jesus makes you acceptable. You do it because you don't want to blaspheme the name of God. Because the higher up you go, you bring attention. And when you fall, there's all these enemies of God, enemies of the Holy Spirit that will just slander. They're having a field day. But you know what? I believe God is giving us whatever he was going to offer Numa. Sorry to say this. He's offering to us. So right now, before we go on all that, I'm going to give you a chance. Is all right, guys? give you a chance to give your life to Jesus if you haven't done so. Romans 8, verse 3 to 4, he says this: "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The wages of sin is death. If you sin, you need to die. But God says, don't worry about all that. All you need to do is walk in the Spirit, and I'll deal with the rest of that." So that's why God says, repent, which is turn around. This morning, we talk about what the word sin. This is one word in sin, which is kata, which means miss the mark, missing the target. You know, like, it's actually not a very spiritual word. It's like when you're shooting basketball and you miss, you actually kata, you miss the target. So therefore, to stop sinning, missing the target, you got to change your aim. So what do you aim at? Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. God is love, Jesus is God. You follow Jesus, you follow love, you're following the Spirit. So don't worry about the righteousness stuff, just follow me and I'll take care of everything else." That's why he says, repent and believe in the kingdom. So right now, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, can I get every head bow, every eye close? Worship team. I remember 18 years ago, I was depressed. And so I partied, I drank, took drugs. And those things made me happy for a couple of hours. Then the high was gone. My money's gone. I'm twice as depressed and I'm broke. So I had to sell drugs so I can afford more drugs. And the cycle goes on. Then I said, "Jesus," as I was getting arrested, "if you're real, show yourself." And he came and he set me free. 2 years of ice addiction, using ice like coffee in the morning. I would wake up because I haven't slept. So I would roll over, sleep 1 or 2 hours, pull out the pipe, start smoking away. I was in the army, by the way. That's another story. Crazy man. I needed to be arrested. But when I cried out to Jesus, he came down and took all that away. But not only took that away, he actually addressed the root of it. I was hopeless. I had no future. I was failing in life. And in that place, he gave me hope. He gave me a future. Realizing that when this world passes away, I have an eternal dwelling with him. Body with no pain, no bills. Jesus looking after everything. Peace, love, joy. Glorious existence forever and ever and ever. Now I'm filled with hope and I don't need to take anything now. Are you following me? If you're feeling hopeless and you haven't given life to Jesus, I'm going to give you a chance. Lift up your hand and just say, "Hey, you know what? I want to receive this Jesus. I want to begin this amazing journey. I want him to come into my heart and be joined together with me. I want to be adopted as sons and daughters of God." So let's just everybody say this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me so much that you send your Son to die for me. Today, I repent out of living my own way, and I turn around and I choose to follow you, Jesus. I will read your word. I will find out what your will is, and I will follow you. So help me, God. today, I am a brand new person. I've been adopted into your family. So thank you, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Why don't we give a round of applause for those who prayed that for the very first time. And now I'm going to ask you guys, can you please turn around and just ask your neighbor? It's like, did you pray that prayer for the very first time? Because if you did, I want you to come forward and we want to be able to connect with you, pray with you, give you the Bible, and just find you a community. Anyone? Praise God. If not, there is a QR code. There's a QR code. You can scan it, fill it, and we'll connect with you. But here's what I want to do now. Who's fed up with hearing news about the coming revival? And actually want to do something about it. But for you to do something about it, it requires a sacrifice to be placed on an altar. Guess what the sacrifice is? You. You're the sacrifice. Our purpose in my heart, again, I watched Ben do it. He asked, it's like, oh, Ben's amazing. You should see him 15 years ago. He's just a normal kid. Crazy kid. A kid that dares to believe. And you know what I realized? There are no men and women of God that were special. When they started off, they were losers. I'm saying this with all honor. Benny Hinn, he had no friends. That's why he stayed home and worshiped God for 8 hours a day. John Kilpatrick says, been involved in two revivals. He goes, revival is never on sale. The price is the same every time. And the price of this one is the same. You don't get revival by talking about it. You get revival by getting on your knees and saying, I'm not moving until you come. The failure to do so, I reckon, this is my opinion, I reckon it's a world war, man. The world is very, very sick. Very sick. The US is troubling. They're letting all these those people going through their borders. It's just suicide. And we're following everything they're doing. And I believe if revival doesn't come, we just might taste a world war. That's my personal opinion. But that causes me to move and do something. If two little old ladies can look at the skirt length in their days and go, oh my goodness, went from the ankle to the knee. Bunch of harlots. But if they could do something about it, how much more we should be alarmed at our society, right? And you can't stick your head in the sand because it will come for you. And I've said it again, it's either you pray now or you pray when the world war happens. And it's not a pleasant thing. We need revival or we're all in trouble. So right now, I'm just going to open up the altar. Will you come forward and you exchange with God? You say, you know what, God? I'm going to lay my body. This is a sacrifice and I'm going to place myself on the altar of prayer. Watch me burn. John Wesley says this, I have put my body on the altar and I burn and the world has come to watch me burn. So who would like, I'm inviting you, man. Who would like to say, you know what? I'm it, God. I'm not going to wait for revival to come. I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to ask for it. Day and night. Night and day. Hours every day. I'm going to ask. We're going to ask. God, will you pour out your spirit once again? The scripture says, ask, keep asking. Keep asking, keep asking, keep asking, keep seeking, keep seeking, keep seeking, keep knocking, saying, God, move. God, come on, let it cry out. Cry out. If you can't cry out now, how are you going to cry out at home? Cry out now. Say, God, will you move? God, pour out your spirit, God. Pour out your spirit on me, God. Pour out your spirit, God, like in the days of old, like in the book of Acts, God. I'm not satisfied with what we've got. I don't think what we've got is similar to what the apostles had, Lord. We want your spirit. God, will you pour out your spirit? Come on, open up your mouth. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Just say, God, come on, Lord. Pour out your spirit, God. Correct. Father, I just pray you look at these souls, God, that no one's going to hold them accountable. It's just them and God. Be careful, though. If you're up here, you better make sure you put it, that you step up. And let me tell you this. It's just about an increase, right? If you never prayed, start praying 5-10 minutes. And it's like going to the gym. It's progressive overload. I didn't start off like this. I didn't start off hours a day. As a matter of fact, it's only recently. Are you following me? 5 minutes, then 10 minutes, then half an hour in the morning, half an hour in the afternoon, then an hour in the morning. Then I tell you what, after an hour, your mouth just moves by itself. You just go, God, pour out your spirit, God. We want more of you, God. We want revival, Lord.